I'll give you a cue. Be ready for anything. Okay. We're going to need writing instruments, so if you don't have, you can secure. This morning's class did not include something that was intended to be there, so I'm going to consolidate the uncompleted portion from this morning and put it in here, and then do the rest of what it was supposed to do now. Compressed two classes in one session. The topic that wasn't discussed this morning, let me close that door and just mention to the kitchen people. The topic that wasn't discussed this morning was under the heading of alignment, chanting with taste. Where sadhana, what we practice every day, and sadhya should be aligned, what our goal is. So we certainly would like to chant with genuine spiritual feeling and genuine spiritual experience. That's our sadhya, but our sadhana is not there. So we're going to discuss the topic a little bit, not threadbare, because it's a big topic. But how does taste come from where we are to where we want to be, making that connection? A short answer is purity. When there's purity, the experience is what our goal is. And when there isn't purity, there's distraction. According to our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, specifically, pramada, or inattentiveness, is the root of all offenses, which are the root of all impediments from our having that taste. Or another way of saying the same thing is being absent as opposed to being present. When we're calling Krishna's name, we're invoking, we're inviting Krishna to be present, and Krishna is very kind. He's at once present. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. He's so kind. He's present in his fullness with each and every potency. How potent is Krishna? He's all potent. Anything material, you know, something magnificent within nature that's just awe-inspiring, or that puts but a spark of Krishna's splendor. Or the sun, it's giving life to the whole universe for the whole duration of the universe, but it's just a spark of Krishna's splendor, and his splendor is but his potency, and he's the potent. So how much potency is in each and every one of Krishna's names? But there's this not having a taste. So purity, or another appropriate word is maturity. When our devotion for Krishna increases by maturing or growing of the creeper of bhakti through the gradual watering and growth process of bhakti, then there can be some taste. Until there's our devotion is mature and our hearts are pure, we're not going to have that same experience. Related to this, there's a very nice discussion in the sixth canto, chapter 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami is describing the process of devotional service, and specifically he goes into chanting of the holy name. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana, that verse, agham dunvanti karsneya. So in the purport, Prabhupada refers to Jiva Goswami's commentary, and it's moving from the position of namabhas or bhakti abhas, like what Ajamila did, just chanting Narayan's name unintentionally, going up a stage. And he, Jiva Goswami gives that up a stage. You know, our goal is Shuddhanam, but up one notch from Namabhas, or our present stage of chanting, our present stage of devotional service for that matter. Raga Bhasa Shunya Swarup Bhuta, where this is prior to spontaneous attraction for serving Krishna, spontaneous devotion unto Krishna that just springs from the heart, which is sadhya, that's the goal. You want that. We want that experience, not just to know that that's the goal. So what Jiva Goswami says is there's a stage where one isn't experiencing spontaneous bhakti, bhava bhakti, or raga bhakti, but one likes the position of service. So my suggestion here is, during this japa retreat and during your life in devotion, apply that tendency for service, which is constitutional for the soul, apply that tendency for service to serve the holy name. I'll give some examples of some recent, within the past week, some dialogue with devotees that have described their liking for devotional service, but their struggle with taste in chanting the holy name. So it's like real-time stuff, at least, you know, within my relationships with devotees. One is a very good organizer. He can, you know, he can do a lot of good organization, but the attraction for chanting is not correspondingly increasing. Then there's another devotee who isn't their service, their thing is not organizing, but their thing is helping the organizer. And morning till night, service, 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 so much service, neglect of chanting and the loss of taste, and now even chanting is missing. Or another person, you know, it's been festival time, so during festival time they like to volunteer for the festival, so for about 3 weeks, because it was a big festival, they did a lot of service, and you know, communication stopped, not just because they were doing so much service, but they were embarrassed that their chanting disappeared. And now to get back to chanting, it's a struggle because there's no taste. So my suggestion here is the sequence should go like this. Once upon a time, we were not practicing Krishna consciousness. And then through association of devotees, we began the activities of bhakti, just like Rupa Goswami describes. Adaushradha tatha sadhu sangha tatha bhajana kriya. So we're doing some bhajana kriya, some devotional practice. And through that devotional practice, what arose was a desire to serve Krishna. And so we're going along the path of devotional service arising out of bhajana kriya. But the mistake is to become too much absorbed in the service itself, or even possibly the anartha nivritti stage of devotional service, of losing track of the essence. It's the hearing and chanting, it's the essence from which devotional service arises, the attraction for serving Krishna arises. So when that space opens up where attraction is wanted but not experienced, we can make an effort, regain our footing, and direct our attention in the proper way. But so now comes the subtle part. The subtle part is that taste is not just arising from our effort. It's not just something that we do, like, you know, the worldly things that we're accustomed to doing. You know, you take your exams, you get smart, you pass your exams, then you got a task to take care of, and you just apply your, you know, academic or college brain to the task, and it's done. We did it. You know, the doership mentality is very strong in the material world. But bhakti and taste is not enhanced that way. It's rather than it's a pushing effort, it's a pulling effort. Taste is where you become attracted to the holy name. Give a worldly story. Some of you have heard this worldly story. It's a Ralph Waldo Emerson story. Everybody knows that name. You know, he and Thoreau, very renowned for their attraction for the Vedas and Bhagavad Gita in particular. So when he was in his elder stage of life, in his 60s, he had a little farm. And one day, he and his son or grandson or something, they were attempting to get a little heifer. Like, not next to the baby calf, it's somewhere in between, a heifer, into the barn. And the heifer didn't want to go in the barn. But the heifer didn't run away, the heifer just stood there and refused to go in the barn. So they got behind the heifer and pushed on his rear end and pushed. You know, one, two, and he'd be like, I'm going nowhere. So his younger of the two, you know, he was very strong, so they made an extra effort, pushing very hard. The heifer wouldn't move. Nothing happened. So while they were struggling like that, one of the helpers, farm helpers, came along, a lady, and she smiled. She dipped her finger in something that the heifer liked, held her finger out like that, put the finger just in front of the mouth of the heifer, and the tongue went out, and she just very gently pulled the heifer right into the barn. So sometimes the mind is like that heifer. Doesn't want to go. But when there's some attraction, then it's a whole other experience, a whole other bringing the mind to Krishna experience. Here's a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quite a world of difference between Ralph Waldo Emerson and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But here's where Krishna recognizes our effort. It's not that we don't need to make any effort, it's just going to fall from the sky or something. Krishna's mercy is descending upon us all, but there has to be some effort. So here's, this is in the arena of chapter 87 of the 10th canto. And chapter 87 is Prayers by the Personified Vedas. It's the longest chapter in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, at least the longest chapter in canto 10, where Maharaj Parikshit is asking Shukadev Goswami, after he's heard the whole 10th canto, he remarks that my mind is now fixed. I'm ready for anything. My mind is completely in alignment with my heart and with Krishna. But I have a doubt. How did this happen? Because the mind is something material. And for that matter, the tongue, which you've been using to speak in the ear, which I've been using to hear, they're also material. So how do we get to a spiritual place with a material vehicle? And you can say it the other way around. You know, we're in the material situation. How do we get out of the material situation? Because anything we turn to is material. And how do we reach the spiritual when we don't apparently have those tools? We're stuck. You know, it's damned if you do and damned if you don't, and it doesn't matter if you try, you don't try. It's because you're just material or material to get to a spiritual place. How does it work? So the chapter is an answer to that question. And one of the descriptions is exactly on our topic, and that is the awakening of a desire. That's adaushradha. There's a desire through sadhu sangha, through the association of devotees, and through the association of devotees, they give the means of spiritualizing matter. Prabhupada gives the example of a copper wire that has electricity running through it. A copper wire is just a copper wire, but the electricity makes it electrified. So you touch it and you get an experience. Oh, that's electricity. So the same tongue and the same ear, when used to vibrate or to hear the vibration of Krishna's holy name, it acts in a spiritual way, although it's separated energy. It's reconnected or it's spiritualized through that agency of submission and being received by Krishna. So here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes. A man was meditating on the Lord with his mind. But the mind is material. The Lord knows this and considers, just see, my devotee is trying to follow my instructions to fix his mind upon me, even though his mind is limited and cannot reach me. Let me help. This is, you know, Krishna, please accept me. So, let me help. Then he writes, the mind is like a lake, and the Lord makes waves in that lake that touch upon the soul of the devotee who is trying to fix his mind upon Krishna. That's his commentary. So there's our alignment chart. And we're doing something with the physical body. We're trying to sit attentively and with the mind, bring the mind, make the sounds, bring the mind to the sound from the heart, call out with sincerity to take shelter of Krishna, and we're making this effort. And Krishna sees the effort, smiling. This is very nice. Even the mind is material, there's no way his mind is going to reach me. But let me help him. So sincere. Then the metaphor, the mind is like a lake. But Krishna makes waves in the lake. It's Krishna's waves, and the waves touch the soul. And we feel something. We feel contact with Krishna. Someone can say, oh, that's just the mind. But behind the mind, there's Krishna. And there's the experience of Krishna through the agency of the mind. We're experiencing Krishna. And it's a totally different experience than any material thought the mind can think. And we know that from practical experience. That even the little waves that Krishna sends our way, the little kindnesses that Krishna sends away, because our capacity is limited. So, go back to something that I was speaking about this morning and continue it. The Shikshastakam verses, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they are meditations upon Krishna's holy name and the stages of bhakti that are attained by chanting Krishna's holy name and realized and experienced through the chanting of Krishna's holy name. So, he has this nice verse, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Ma Vishame Bhavambudhau. Oh, Kripaya Tava Padapangaja Stitya Dhuli Sadrasham Vichintaya. Here's Dravida's poetic rendering of that verse. Your servant for eternity, I lost my true identity and fell into this horrid sea of birth and death, O Lord. O Nanda's son, please hear my plea. By your sweet grace, consider me a speck of dust upon your lotus feet forevermore. So it's the bhakti involves the bandhana, or offering of prayers to the Lord, is a growth or a development, a natural consequence of the Shravanam Kirtanam. It's that, you know, feelings, chanting with feeling awakens when the chanting is done from the heart or with genuine sincerity of wanting an encounter with the Lord. Just as setting the mood for the treat I was describing, we go into a secluded situation, a more internal situation on a retreat, and those deeper hankerings that we push to the side because we're too busy in our material affairs of life, we take that time out and go within and connect with those deeper desires, fulfill them, seek to fulfill them, experience them. So it's a sankalpa, it's a desire, an intention. And when going through that intention, this calling out to the Lord, because on our own it's not going to be possible. We know it's not going to be possible, but we're not like trying Mission Impossible. We're recognizing Krishna's mercy. And then that experience is very personal. Here's the another rendering of the same verse translated by Mahadevi Swami. It's very nice. I like it very much. O son of Nanda, Krishna, King of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. Please accept me. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself. I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you. But somehow, I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. Pause. But at the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I am under unfavorable circumstances. I am suffering. And without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present imprisoned condition. So, heartfelt appeal. And once again, from this morning, heartfelt appeal doesn't come and go. It's not circumstantially generated, nor can some adverse circumstance quell it or quash it or eliminate it. It's from the heart. It's sustaining because it's genuine. And when chanting is conducted from that position, like this, you know, this translation here is very nice, or rendering is very nice. Not exactly a translation, but it's expressing that same mood. There's a conflict between what we know and what we are, or what we're experiencing. And it's not something outside of us that's preventing us from getting there. It's our own inner conflicts, our own false shelters, our own impurities, the forces of our conditioning, the consequences of our past free will choices and our fallible soldiers, that was supposed to give me happiness, that no way it's going to bring happiness, not the happiness that we really want. So there's this a term that Rupa Goswami uses, which in turn Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses, is Trishna. Trishna sounds very much like Krishna. Trishna. Trishna means thirst. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that of those anarthas within the heart, like the clouds that block the rays of the sun, there's anarthas that block the receiving of the holy name. And one of those blocks is asat trishna. The thirst for asat, for things temporary. And we heard Bhaktisiddhanta's statement this morning where he said, on the neophyte position, one who has no interest in Krishna consciousness, that person should throw away all material desires. Of course, that's like, okay, what's next? Asat Trishna. But you can't just throw away material desires and not put something there, because immediately get filled up with material desires again. The bungee cord. So, Nama Trishna, or Krishna Trishna. Thirst for Krishna. By cultivation. This cultivation is a twofold thing. Accepting something and rejecting another something. Or rejecting asat and accepting sat. Sat Krishna. In Krishna's language of Bhagavad Gita, nasate vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate sataha. Very simple. Ubayor api drishton tvas tvanios tattva darshidi. The tattva darshis, the seers of the truth, have concluded that that which is in the realm of asat is inconsequential, and they place no value there. Conversely, that which is sat, that's of value, and they place all attention there. So part of theory of transcendental knowledge is to understand what is the difference between sat and asat. That's Sankhya. What's eternal and what's temporary? And then there's the practical activity of placing attention where attention belongs. So that's where application comes. And that's what we're here for. To practice taking shelter in a very focused and, you know, taking the support of other saintly persons or spiritually aspiring personalities, and combinedly making that effort together, taking strength from one another, as retreats are aside from a solitary kind of bhajan, group activity, sankirtan, congregationally assisting one another to take up chanting of the holy name. So we're going to have a little exercise now. So this is what I'd like you to do. We'll have a little exercise of, she'll lead you, but where are those gaps in our sadhana between what we know we should be doing and what we're doing? And what are some of the tools that you can use to bridge those gaps? And particularly while here, to make it like, you know, in immediate time, what are some of the things that you feel that you can do? This exercise was taken up a little bit with the sankalpa, but we'll do it again. And then have some pairs and share with one another. This was supposed to happen this morning, so we're doing it now. Before you launch this, if you do this thoughtfully now, it will be very helpful on 64 round day. Instead of doing it on 64 round day, we're doing it today, so it will be in your mind in the rest of the japa for today and tomorrow morning, and particularly to help you really, really, really be focused. Gaps, what are they? What can be done to fill the gap so that their alignment is in place?
focus is not on our chant, and your focus is not on the holy name. So just, you know, like this chart behind me, trying to align our body, mind, and heart. We can do that. And just make that a regular practice and try to bring our mind and heart back to the holy name. So you can take a deep breath if you have. So we're going to try to first align our body. It's not that just by sitting straight, you know, we can connect with Krishna or something. It's not just that. But it's just how we're paying attention to Krishna, just like we're talking to some important person. You know, we don't lean back, we're going for an interview or something. We're not sitting sloppily and, you know, talking to them. So in the same way, we're, you know, paying attention to Krishna, we're trying to serve Krishna through the holy name. So our posture indicates something, and our posture has an influence on our mind also. So that's the reason why I'm sit straight. So sit straight, and we can begin chanting. We'll chant for a few minutes, and then I'll give prompts as we go along. And yeah, you can just follow up. Start chanting together.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So now please bring your mind to the holy name. Try to bring your mind to listen to each name as you're chanting. Let your focus be there. Put your mind not to thinking about other things, but just bring your mind to listening one mantra at a time. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Now we want to bring our heart to chanting. We want to chant with more feeling. accept me. So there's some very beautiful meditations of Gopal Guru Goswami's meditations. I'm going to prompt those as we chant. So just try to enter into that feeling. So we can begin chanting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Continue with on the same theme, this body, mind, and heart, just did a little bit. Some practical things that are helpful, or conditions that are helpful for quality chanting. they're little, there are, it's like a collage, something here, something there, something over there, but when interconnected or put together, it's collectively very helpful for improving the quality of chanting. So one of those factors, the first one, is when you chant, an ideal time. Prabhupada has taught us, and scriptures have taught us, and experience has also taught us, early in the morning. Who has had that experience? The difference between chanting, quality of chanting early in the morning, as opposed to other times during the day. Practically universal. So, scripturally, Brahma Muhurta time. And that means there's the time of sunrise, and you go back in time before the sunrise, and it's 90 minutes before the sun rises. It's when the Brahma Muhurta time begins. And it lasts for, it's sections of 24 minutes, so it's two of those, 48 minutes. Ideal. Any spiritual activity during that period of time. I regularly get sadhana reports from devotees, and I can say, you know, those that keep track of it, it's 100% rising early and chanting early makes for quality chanting, and quality chanting then makes for quality everything else, quality hearing, quality reading, quality relationships, quality experience of life in the realm of devotion. It's part of the Vedic way of life that each thing, that there's its ideal, you calculate, at least astrologically and astronomically, one can calculate when is ideal. So for spiritual practice, early in the morning. And it's not only that it's auspicious, it's easier, not only that it's easier, but we'll feel the reciprocation from Krishna. There's support. And that connection with Krishna is what we want anyway. It's not just, I mean, we like to be happy. We like to feel good. But more than feeling happy and feeling good is the connection with Krishna, the relationship with Krishna is the most satisfying thing. It's something, a comparison can be made to sailing. When I was young, I was young, this lifetime I was young, and I lived by a lake. I spent my childhood more time in the water than I was on land. And one of the things that we did was sailing. We learned how to sail a sailboat, and you know, they had sailboat races and things. And so one of the things that's a sailor's favorite is a nice breeze, nice favorable breeze. And then you get the sail in the right position and zoom, 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 faster than a speedboat. Fantastic. It's really amazing. It's a thrilling experience from a sailor's point of view. And from a devotee's point of view, to feel that support of Krishna, the connection with Krishna while chanting, and most favorable time, early morning hours, doesn't mean don't chant other times, but maximize your opportunity when you rise early. Make your schedule so that you can do that as far as possible. At least your schedule A is rise early. That means, you know what it means. It means go to bed early so that you can rise early, so that you can chant early and catch that favorable breeze. Another thing is pronunciation. Something that I was taught as a younger devotee, not very, very new, but if the mind starts to wander, one of the ways to help capture the mind when it starts to wander is pronunciation. Say the syllables clearly. Because what happens when there's inattentive chanting is the syllables are not spoken clearly. In fact, my practical experience as a younger devotee is when I found that there were periods of getting sleepy while chanting, it was immediately I understand, besides I was inattentive, it was the syllables were blurred. There wasn't distinction in articulation. And go the other way. Be distinct in pronunciation. Automatically, you have to hear. Just to make sure you're auditing your own sound vibration by hearing. So your hearing is connected. And your mind is connected. And your tongue is connected. It's a trick to capture the mind and the ear by clear pronunciation. And when I had more discretionary time than I do presently, I had a practice of persons who I was helping to develop their Krishna consciousness. I had them go through an exercise of recording their chanting so that I could listen to their chanting. And I knew what would happen before I made that request. Oh, he's going to listen to my chanting. I better be very good about my chanting. So I said, you can practice all you like, but I want to hear the recording of your chanting. Lots of dry rehearsals, that's okay. I want to hear your chanting. So immediately, you know, the quality of chanting went up. And then from listening to the recording of their chanting, because it wasn't just, you know, one mantra or 5 minutes, it was, you know, a whole side of an audio cassette, you know, a 90-minute audio cassette. I listened to the whole thing. And it was very audibly clear when they started spacing out. Like, you know, the beginning was very good, very good, very good. Oh, very good, very good. You could hear when the mind was going, wandering, and then, you know, back again. You could hear it, the quality of the sound vibration. So, back to the pronunciation. You pronounce the syllables. And another thing is, in some person's chanting, it's not, you know, all the syllables. Not Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, but we Ram Ram, or Krish Krish, or something. Some interesting combination of syllables. It's not like that, you know, there's no spiritual credit for that, but it's not, you're not present when you're chanting with a blur. So pronounce all the syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One devotee pointed out, well, a god brother of mine was listening to a recording of Prabhupada's chanting of japa, was listening very carefully in a critical mindset. You know, is Prabhupada chanting all the syllables? You know, he played it back for me. Listen, you know, Prabhupada was chanting all the syllables. So when you chant swiftly, then this is something that Prabhupada wrote in one letter to Giriraj Maharaj. When you chant swiftly, that's good. So this is not pronunciation, this is pace of chanting. Chant swiftly, it helps to capture the mind. Meaning, you have to be attentive when you're chanting swiftly, as opposed to some person say, I like to chant slowly because then I can hear each sound. Then it's easy for the mind to drift. So too slow is not too good. Too fast is not too good. Chanting swiftly is good. You take the statement that Prabhupada made about how long it should take to chant 16 rounds, and he said 16 rounds in the beginning may take 2 hours. I don't know, we don't need to do a survey here how long it takes you to complete your 16 rounds. It may take more, it may take less. It's not that you're in the penalty box if it's less or more. But that's a good standard. And if it's, you know, way too much more or way too much less, you might want to go back and, as I did with some of the persons in the room, I had them record their own chanting and listen to their own chanting. And I listened to their chanting and see, are all the syllables being spoken? So Prabhupada said, swiftly, but not so swiftly you cannot hear each syllable. And there's 32. Chanting swiftly, but not so swiftly you cannot hear each syllable. And whether it's, whatever the pace is, it requires attentiveness to hear. To pronounce it requires being attentive to hear how carefully you're performing your chanting. Now these are body things, what you can do with your tongue, with your ear. But behind it there's alertness or a desire to connect with Krishna. So maybe I can do this just without requesting some assistance. Let's do a little japa monitoring in pairs. And the feedback session, this is one of each of these little exercises, they're kind of like, you know, very simple. But in the feedback I've experienced from japa retreats, these little things, it proves to be very helpful. Devotees say, when I was chanting my 64 rounds, or in general, my chanting has improved because of this exercise. So, pair up with another person, and one is chanting and the other is listening for some time, and then you give a critique on the other person's japa, then vice versa. So find somebody you won't mind getting critiqued on your japa, and begin. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You can begin sharing now what you heard, and when you're done, you can then begin the other person chanting and you're listening. Okay, now you can share. If you haven't already, stay in your dyads there. One who's been listening, share with the one who's been chanting. Who needs more time? We're okay. More time. 8 minutes. You have the mantra sign, mantra board. Okay, wind it up. Okay. Moving right along. The next, and these are, just putting a header on it again, these are things to be attentive to, so that alignment is increased and effectiveness in chanting is there. They're not hard and fast rules, but they're helpful. How loud should you chant? Well, depends if you're in a forest or if you're in the temple room. There's a very nice description in Chaitanya Bhagavat where during the Mahaprakash Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 24 hours was sitting on the altar of Srivas Thakur, or the throne of Vishnu. He was sitting on the altar in in a mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and was asking the devotees one by one to come forward, and he was disclosing things about their life even before he was born, of, you know, his understanding of things that happened in his in their lives, to demonstrate to them his divinity, or disclosing their spiritual identity and spiritual form and all kinds of incredible things. So at one point he asked, bring Kolavichar Sridhar. And those of you that have been to Mayapur, you know the different distance between Shiva Sangha and where Kolavichar Sridhar lived. It's quite a trek. And there weren't any street lights. No Zippo lighters. No lights at night. Maybe a candle in someone's home or a kerosene lamp, but otherwise dark. So anticipating their concern of finding their way in the dark, Mahaprabhu said, just listen for the sound of the holy name. It was pitch black, dead of night. Just follow the sound of the holy name and you'll find Kolavichar Sridhar. So he was chanting audibly. I don't know if any of you have heard this, but you know, as you go along in your devotional service, you're likely to hear it, or chance that you'll hear it. It's one of these stump the Swami questions. How come you people chant out loud? Don't you know that the names of the Lord are to be chanted silently? You know, that was the pitch at the time that Mahaprabhu was born, that the great anxiety of Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur is, here's this place of Brahmins and no one chants the holy name. Part of their argument was, you can't or you shouldn't chant aloud, with the exception that on a lunar eclipse, everyone should chant aloud. So that's when he appeared, the time of lunar eclipse. Everyone half submerged in the Ganges, chanting very loudly the holy name, and he appeared. And then he later on chanted aloud. So Haridas Thakur was being challenged one time. Not only you chant, you're Muslim and you chant Krishna's name, but you chant out loud. And so Haridas Thakur replied, better to chant out loud. And he gave an explanation, because when you chant out loud, not only you benefit, but others who hear the sound benefit, so better to chant out loud. Because you invoke the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon yourself as the chanter. So in addition to the holy name, you're receiving that mercy. Chant out loud. So traditionally mantras, they're scripturally described. There's Utkirtan, like Sankirtan. And then there's murmuring or whispering or very softly. Or there's just within the mind. And there's terms for each of these. Vachika, Upangsu, and Manasika. So in Prema Vivarta. Prema Vivarta is a book written by Jagatananda Pandit, and he describes in that book the chanting of Haridas Thakur. And he describes that Haridas Thakur would chant initially aloud and then softly and then within his mind. Anyone who's tried to chant within their mind knows how difficult it is. So aloud is better. It helps to capture the mind. Here's Srila Prabhupada from Nectar Devotion, Chapter 9. Chanting a mantra or hymn slowly and softly is called japa, and chanting the same mantra loudly is called kirtan. For example, uttering the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, very softly, only for one's own hearing, is called japa. Chanting the same mantra loudly for being heard all by all other beings is called kirtan. The Maha Mantra can be used for japa and kirtan also. When japa is practiced, it is for the personal benefit of the chanter. But when kirtan is performed, it is for the benefit of all others who may hear. So there's many nice things about being in Gitanagari. One thing is we don't have to worry about neighbors. The trees aren't going to complain. The peacocks aren't going to complain. The common thing that we, invited devotees come together when somebody moves into a house or an apartment and they have a housewarming. So the first thing we do is you start a fire in their living room. And make all this noise so all the neighbors don't like their new neighbor. These Hare Krishna people. But here we don't have to worry. No neighbors that will complain. There's neighbors. But how these trees will benefit over the years of growing up as trees and receiving the benefit of the sound vibration. Enormous spiritual benefit. When I was, probably a month, having a baby bhakta living in a temple in Boston, Giriraj, then Das Brahmachari, was known for his loud chanting, and I didn't say anything, but apparently some other devotees said, you chant so loudly, I have to leave the temple room. Can you chant more softly? So could you open all those windows? That would be really good. All the ones across the back. Air. Great. So he wrote to Prabhupada about how loudly should I chant. And Prabhupada encouraged him. Not so loudly you drive people out of the temple room, but chanting loudly is good. So there's a little, this rare commodity called common sense. Maharaj, how do you get common sense? I've been asked that question. Yes. But with a little common sense, there's some social awareness considerations that when you're chanting in a confined space, like temple room, and there's a number of devotees, and you consider your fellow Vaishnavas that they want to hear their chanting, not just yours. And it's this chanting softly so that you can hear. Chant sent loud enough so that you can hear, not so that you fall asleep. And the mind has to be switched on in order to hear that soft chanting and to hear chanting. It takes concentration to going back to the pronunciation also. to pronounce, the mind has to be alert. And so here, soft chanting, the mind has to be alert. To hear swift chanting, the mind has to be alert. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gaurahari, devotees would come to his home in the morning after they did their puja, and they would make various offerings of bananas and garlands and different items that he could use for his worship, and sandalwood. And when they would come to his door, he would come to the door and receive their gifts very, very heartily and request them, chant the holy name. It's in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chant the holy name in japa and kirtan. Oh, making a distinction. But both are appropriate for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra. Then he described to them how to do. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Simadhu Sudan. Names of the Lord called audibly. What should our attitude be when chanting? Well, primary is offenseless, or stated in reverse, attentive. When chanting, our attitude should be attentive. Because, using that specific statement, because cell reception in Hiranagari. We didn't have to make the announcement because there's normally no cell reception. When Krishna is offended, Radha is offended. Radha is displeased and devotional service is withdrawn. So we don't want to make offense. And conversely, when we're attentive, it will, if there's some mistake, or even you're about to make a mistake, that's corrected. It's corrected by our attentiveness. The prompt from Krishna will come. So we need to be very careful about the mood while we're chanting. And another statement about mood when chanting, I've presented earlier, but the mood of service. It's a request for service, but it's also we want to serve the holy name. And all of our other forms or expressions of service flows from that service to the holy name. And again, explicitly approach that, you know, hard worker tendency or doer tendency that says, I'm too busy to chant, that some people experience, or it's hard to get my rounds done kind of thing. But if our service, that which we like to do or have some inspiration to do, service to the holy name, by calling upon the holy name, that's also service. Connect that mood of service to the holy name. And that's an attitude in which to chant. We're serving Krishna directly by, in the proper consciousness, calling his holy name. Posture. We heard something already a little bit. Sitting straight. You know, in yoga practice, it's certainly one of the things that one learns how to do, to sit properly. We've all heard the japa tape, the sit properly. They even call it that. Sit properly, Srila Prabhupada japa tape. Little anecdote is, I met the devotee who was told by Prabhupada, sit properly. His name is Nayanabiram. And he was describing that at 61 Second Avenue, they had this kind of, in the wall was the altar, kind of protruded out a little bit, but then kind of a recessed thing, and the deities were up very high. So one morning, they were Prabhupada came and was regularly chanting with the devotees in the temple room. And one morning he was slouching, like, you know, his one knee down, one knee up against his chest, kind of leaning on his knee and leaning on the altar behind him. And Prabhupada looked right at him and said, "Sit properly." And a similar statement was made. I didn't experience this one or hear the person, but the devotees in L.A. said Prabhupada spoke the same thing. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was described as always being like that in a very straight posture. It's a part of his disposition, very strict, but for a purpose. It lends to attentiveness. And I've had on the side little conversations with devotees, particularly I'm thinking of some young devotees who had the habit, I noticed, of slouching when they chanted. So I cautiously spoke with them, you know, sit straight, it'll help your attentiveness. And the same feedback came, huge difference. It's just a physical thing with the alignment, but it has its effect. It, you know, to stay sitting properly, there's some effort, and you know that there's a purpose behind the effort that sustains the effort. It's to receive the holy name in an alert condition. Posture affects concentration. Or when you want to concentrate, it's naturally done in a proper posture position. Skipping syllables is another item. Sometimes it happens, but we kind of covered that just by hearing each other's chanting. I've gotten feedback from that little exercise that I didn't realize I was just missing a syllable every mantra. And I could have gone on like indefinitely missing that syllable. Our last exercise is this one, this Maha Mantra exercise. I personally have not found this to be like, you know, mega important, but others that during their 64 round day told me this was the main thing that helped them. One of the main things that helped them is by visually following the mantra as you're audibly chanting the mantra. It has a name, Trataka. It's where the mind is fixed on something, and it's connecting the eye with the ear and the tongue, like mandalas are like that. You know what a mandala is, right? A geometric pattern that is uniform and it helps you focus. I've seen pictures of Buddhists that is their meditation. They get all around, they put a mandala on the floor, they get all around the floor and they're leaning over, looking at the mandala. That, you know, they're not chanting, they're just like looking at the mandala. But it helps to fix the mind. In our Gaudiya line, one practice like that is in the son of Lord Nityananda, Virachandra. You go to that temple in Ekachakra, and by the front of the deity there's a mantra sign, and apparently he would perform his chanting before that mantra sign as well as the deity to help fix the mind. The purpose is fix the mind on Krishna's holy name. Gorkishor Das Babaji once dictated a letter to a devotee, a follower, describing this process. You should write the mantra containing the 16 names in big letters and keep them before you and do japa while looking at them. You should not look at or think of anything belonging to the world or Maya. The letters of the name in the mantra have such shakti that if you continue doing japa while looking at them, we will one day have darshan of Radha Krishna with their associates. Korkishwar Das Babaji Maharaj. So let's do this. Maybe we can put it somewhere towards the middle. We'll chant japa together for 5-10 minutes. And then we'll see if there's some questions before we stop for lunch. So the practice is we're looking at the, as you're saying Hare, you're looking at Hare. As you're saying Krishna, you're looking at Krishna, and so forth. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Helpful? Who found this Trataka exercise helpful? What about chanting in unison? Who found that helpful? Yeah. Good. Okay. Last point on this. Things to do that are conducive for effective chanting. Practice. Abhyasa. We had a japa retreat in Ojai, California. That was a very nice experience. It was promoted by Purusha Sukta Prabhu, who as a disciple of Bhakti Tirtha Swami, and when he started doing this, these japa retreats, because it was Bhakti Tirtha Swami's wish, one of his wishes, that the senior devotees could come together and do spiritual activities together, because often when our leaders get together, it's, okay, how do we tackle this problem? How do we resolve that conflict? And, you know, managing the society, less time than we would want spent doing spiritual activities together. So Purusha Sukta arranged for a japa, what he called japa retreat for leaders. And not too many people wanted to come because they didn't consider themselves to be leaders. But it was a nice gathering. And one of the sessions, it was a whole session just on this one point of practice, and Ravindra Srupa led that discussion. And he gave many very, very nice examples of the role of practice. And the word is abhyasa. By practice, so many things. Practice makes perfect. Or just a good practice, taking bad habits and changing them into good habits. Practice with determination. And even with yoga, abhyasa yoga, it's linking with Krishna. The link with Krishna is already there, so what's there to practice? But it's our constitutional position we're practicing. So it's completely natural. Although it's in the form of practice, just because we have other habits besides acting in our relationship with Krishna. So here's a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco at a lake where Prabhupada is saying, yes, practically everything depends on practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina. Abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa yoga means yoga practice. Practice it. So this whole Krishna consciousness movement is to practice transferring one kind of consciousness to another. So we require practice, just like one man can run a few miles. I cannot even run 1 mile. He has practiced. We see some boys, they run on, they practice it. Strength of the heart increases by practice. And if I run, my heart will be palpitating because I have no practice. So by practice, everything can be attained. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Determination. And this determination is increased by celibacy. Brahmacharya is recommended to keep oneself determined. A brahmachari, if he determines something, he executes. He has got that strength of mind. Those who are too much addicted to sex life, they cannot be determined. They cannot be fixed up. They are fluctuating, changing. People are, in the modern day, they cannot sit down in a place for a long time. Therefore, so much traveling. The traveling business is very prosperous. Everyone wants to travel. They cannot fix up. So the processes recommended, they're very valuable. But it is not possible to follow them all in the present age because everything is reducing. So our method is to pray to Krishna to give us the necessary strength. That's all. Otherwise, by regular practice. This age is very difficult, unfavorable. First thing is, memory is very short. We cannot remember. Life is very short. Life is short at the same time, so much disturbed by anxiety, by disease, by natural disturbances. Roga, shokadibhi, short life. That is also disturbed by disease and lamentation. Every moment there is something for which you have to lament. Oh, roga shokadibhi, and disease. This body is a breeding ground for all kinds of disease. Life is short and so much disturbed. So how is it possible to practice? Therefore, this one practice, chanting, Hare Krishna. and hearing, that is very nice. And praying to Krishna, please give me strength. Hare, O energy of Krishna. O Krishna, I am fallen, I have no strength. Please accept me. There it is. That's all. Quote, I have no qualification. I am frail. I am trying, but I am failing. Unquote. All these appeals should be made. Krishna is all-powerful. He can do anything. Even we do not perform, trying our best. If we fail, Krishna will help us. Just like a child tries his best, but he falls down. The mother takes up and, all right, come on, walk. Like that. Yes? End of Prabhupada's. So these are some items that, not just, you know, to fill in some space here in our schedule, but to hear and then to practice, take benefit from and apply them. So we have some time remaining. We'll see if there's some discussion. Any questions or comments? Yes? Where does it come from? It comes from Jagannath Das Babaji. And it's, who does it come from, not where does it come from? On what basis did he say that, is your question? It's because it's quiet. You know, the ether is quiet. I find morning is best. But, you know, we can take it from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj that at least where he was, by the side of the river Ganga, in Navadvip Dham, and a very elevated platform of Krishna consciousness, that he chanted during those hours and found those hours to be effective. Now, our lifestyle is different than his lifestyle. A little bit. We're not Babaji's. Living in solitude and simply chanting all day. He did many other things that, you know, we would not physically be able to do. But, so I emphasize one thing and not what you just heard and what you just repeated. So you can join Jagannath as Babaji and Navadvip. And maybe in, you know, the suburbs of St. Louis, you're better sticking to the morning. Okay? Yeah.
A few things which, one thing which I heard about is how loud we should chant. Regarding the discussion of Badari Prabhu and Mahatma Prabhu and the rest, we were talking about how, you know, sometimes we chant too loud, like too loud. And which we were discussing was we should be affection for the holy name, affection for Krishna.
Yeah.
And if you have affection for someone, you don't like say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, you don't like say so
sweet.
Loud.
Yeah.
Sweetly. Because you want to, you're dividing the relationship with Nam Prabhu.
Yeah.
So maybe with affection. It's not like you're talking to a child. With affection you speak. And it won't be harsh. So that was one of the points which I remember.
You're making a point, not so much asking a question.
No. And one other thing which I, when you were saying about the having the Naam Prabhu in front of you. But what I found was that when Hare Krishna, when we are like, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna together in one line, and then Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare in one line, Hare Rama together, and Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's in four lines, not in eight lines. That helped to focus better than going down so fast.
Okay.
Like, you know, she has it on my heart, and that, that's how I have it in my sacred space. And that also was very much helpful in, you know, you can chant the whole 16 rounds, I think, for some time in the people. Another thing which we got from Dhanavi Maharaj was the Guru Parampara picture. And that, having that in front of me when I do the japa, you know, the whole Guru Parampara from Krishna all the way from Prabhupada. And that really is very helpful, especially when, you know, the mantra which the Gopinathal prayers we are saying in the beginning about, in order to please Lord Chaitanya, I offer the sacrifice of the holy name. And what I find is that when I say that prayer and I kind of go through the whole Guru Parampara, that I'm trying to please each personality, as I'm, so it then brings away prayerful mood and pleasing the whole Guru Parampara as I'm chanting.
Very nice. I'd like to say something, not to contradict what you said on the first two items, but another perspective. The volume aspect, like during kirtan, Govinda's not here right now, but during kirtan, as well as japa, there are different moods that volume can also establish. And like exuberance is also a nice mood of appreciation in kirtan as well as in japa. When you're accustomed, as you during the rest of this time when we're with Govinda, notice, give attention to melody changes, but also there's all kinds of mood changes in the pace and the volume and, you know, the pitch and all kinds of variations that express different moods. And they're not, you know, one is more appreciative and less appreciative. During a practical example of that with our japa retreat in Sharanagati, I didn't plan it. The organizers planned it. I sat like this, and there were others, you know, that kind of like in an audience. I wanted to be around rather than I'm here and they're there, but that's how they set it up. So it just went with the flow. And there were three people who were right in front of me who were experiencing a lot of enthusiasm in their chanting, and corresponding with their enthusiasm was the volume. It didn't start there, but that's where it went from their chanting. And I was anticipating, oh no, my mind's going to get into this, you know, battle with volume, and maybe I should just, you know, excuse myself because they're having a nice absorbed time of it over there. But I didn't. I just stayed. I wanted to be with the devotees. And so I found that through their association, my volume of chanting, which is ordinarily quite soft, became like it was just like we were doing this one. You know, strong and loud. And it was very nice. And I was trying to perceive socially how is that affecting other people. And it was, they were also, the volume went up a little bit, but not like those three that were very loud. Somebody felt unhappy, so they, you know, it was too loud, so they moved way in the back and commented about it later. But it was strong. It was a lift for at least most of us. But it wasn't harsh, but it was strong. Strong. And it was sustained for almost an hour. It was a wave that just kept riding. Just kept going. That's just one feedback on, you know, loud doesn't mean harsh, but loud can mean harsh. On this one of the exercises I skipped was a recommended exercise of in pairs. I'm sure Prema Trungini noticed that I missed it, but you know, Hare Krishna. Because Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, just as it's written, instead of all the way across. And the purpose of that, one of the purposes of that is to be focused on the name that you're chanting, like, you know, Hare Krishna, not the whole mantra. You know, it's one mantra at a time. We'll do some exercise like that, but one name of Krishna at a time. So addressing Krishna and his name. So deliberately set up in that manner. So if you find the other works better, we'll make another chart for you for tomorrow and you can follow that one or bring your own or something. But this was purposeful. And on the third point, same as with this, you know, when looking at members of the disciplic succession, or when looking at the writing of Krishna's name, be careful not to let your mind get lost in what your eye is seeing as opposed to the sound of Krishna's name. It's meant to enhance absorption in the sound of Krishna's name, whatever it is that you're doing, as well as some other meditations that we'll do. Chant while fixing your mind upon your deity, your worshipable deity. It's to enhance absorption in the name, not just like you'll give the mind something that'll keep it occupied and happy and think that that's good. The sound of Krishna's holy name. Okay. Someone else up front here? Any on the ladies' side while we're on the ladies' side? Anyone over there? Okay. Point on which?
On prayers of the personified five Vedas.
Yeah.
Where you were mentioning that, like, when we bring our material senses in contact with Krishna, the spiritual potency of that is restored, and it acts just like spiritual substance.
Yes.
I wanted to understand the difference between that and the soul having a spiritual body and awakening of that spiritual body. Like on one hand, I would say that when we bring, it's the consciousness behind the person that makes something as spiritual. So I'm not able to exactly understand the difference between something turning from material to spiritual, which we are bringing in contact with Krishna, versus like the soul, which is by nature spiritual, and it has a spiritual body associated with it, and that we can awaken.
Here's Prabhupada's, to keep it simple, here's Prabhupada's explanation. I gave one, copper and electricity. Electrified wire is not electricity, it's carrying electricity. You know, you can get down to the science of what is electricity, and you know, the electrons of the copper become excited by contact with electrons that are excited and moves down the copper wire. So which is a good conductor of electricity. But it's, you know, electricity in contact with the copper wire becomes an electrified wire. So they're distinct, but they work the same. And the other example that Prabhupada commonly gave was a gold box and a gold-plated box. A gold-plated box acts like a gold box, although the inside is not gold. The plating, it acts like gold. It's not the same, but it's like the same. You know, the phrasing of your question is, I want to understand exactly. You know, it's not, it's a spiritual exactly. the principle is that everything originally comes from Krishna, and therefore it has its, when again connected with Krishna, it acts spiritually because it's from Krishna. Here's the third example. A hand disconnected from the body. Yuck. But, you know, and it doesn't have the effectiveness of a hand, but you connect the hand back to the body and it acts like a hand. If one can learn the art of how to connect a hand back onto a body, it can again act like a hand. But disconnected, it doesn't have the same efficacy. So the specifically in this case, the ear and the tongue, when again connected with Krishna, is acting in relation to Krishna, it acts spiritually. It can convey spiritual sound or receive spiritual sound, although it's a material instrument. And similarly, the mind. It can act, it's like the gold-plated box. It's like the copper, electrified copper wire. Only in contact with electricity does the copper wire become electrified. There's on the floor, there's a piece of copper wire. It doesn't do anything. It's disconnected. But again, connect. So that's yoga. Okay? Connected in service to Krishna, it acts spiritually. Although it's in a different category of energy, it's para prakriti, acting as spirit acts. Again, connected to Krishna. Like Prabhupada was asked, what would happen, Swamiji, if the whole world became Krishna conscious? Prabhupada's answer was, don't worry, it won't. But if it did, this place would become Vaikuntha. On that principle. Yes?
Guru, this is from the morning class. You're speaking about aligning our sadhana and sadhya.
Yes.
I heard you say that we should know where we are and ultimately where we want to go. But then there's also knowing what is the next step going to be. One of the challenges that I have is taking the proper next step. Like, there is this tendency to take a big leap when I'm not ready. Or there is this confusion, should I take the next step or will that be, is that something that will come down, you know, say from superiors, spiritual master or mentors. So this is like a constant struggle in knowing what is the appropriate next step, depending on where I am. There is a heart wants to move forward, but then there is a challenge of the mind which is pulling me back. So, if you could kindly share more.
Yeah, sure. I'll keep it really simple. Ask. And if you ask me, you know, you're going to get an incrementalist answer, which is do something doable. Something that you can sustain. That's the answer, you know, whatever that is. and take, you know, apply that principle to the context. And then do that for a while. Steady. And then, what's the next doable? So something that's doable. And sustain it. So those are two answers. That should, that which is the next step is something that can be sustained. It's within, it's realistic, within reach, and you sustain it. And you're, and you do so acting within the relationship of the descending flow of descending mercy. You know, that's the consciousness behind the step. Make, I'm a strong believer in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's definition of what's progress. Progress is a series of small steps in the right direction. I was just reminded of that when I was in New York just before coming here. There's this big box of restaurant supplies for the temple. The temple has a little restaurant. So one of the boxes is napkins, and it says small steps. So every time I went, you know, past that pile of stuff for the restaurant, I was thinking, yes, small steps. In the right direction, of course. So you know what the goal is, and ones that you can sustain. That's the right small step. And if, and on the other hand, if you know that you have a tendency to take too large a step and then you end up stepping back, and if, whatever the feelings that go with stepping back and striving for that, so recognize that tendency and check it. You know, instead of doing that, do something more modest. But sustain it. And then the next one. Can you just check and see if Prashadam is ready? Any other question? Over here. Raise your hand again, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the wonderful reading. Like every time I hear these tips and also the prayers which have been composed with so much devotion and very freely offered, I mean, I get very, very inspired. Like, I'm sure I talk about them, and immediately I find evidence in the quality of my chanting. But what happens is, after some time, the sitting prayer for the prayer becomes monotonous. And I don't feel experience the same quality which I had felt before. My question is, like, how to always stay in that inspiration, that moment.
Just reply what I said to him, and you got your answer. That work? You heard what I said to him? So my tendency is, I get inspired like this, and I'm inspired, and then, so take something that you can sustain. Get inspired and do that which you can sustain. Is that nice?
Lunch is ready.
Lunch is
ready. Lunch is ready.
Okay. I'm going to conclude by reading hope I can find it. Yeah. A phrase that, or passage that comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, it's Rupa Goswami reading from his invocation of Lalita Madhava about the chanting of the holy name that describes taste. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. While the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. In addition, when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. That's chanting with taste. So we're some distance from there. But practice. And I'll end with this. There's a little statement here. In a room conversation, Prabhupada was asked by one devotee, basically, you know, what's it like when we go back to Godhead? They said, how will it happen that we will leave this body and enter into the eternal realm? Here's Prabhupada's answer. If you are mature in your devotion, if you are ready, I will meet you at the edge of a grove, and I will take you before Krishna, and I will leave you there with him. So keep chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I assume prasadam is outdoors. Nice outdoors? Take prasadam. Don't eat too much so you can have a little prasadam tonight.